We serve a Father that constantly calling us to be your sons, even though sometimes our hearts are so hard to reject you, and yet you never let go. For that, we give you thanks and praise. And this morning, Lord, as we come, open up the ears of our heart, the eyes of our heart, to see and to hear, and not just to see and to hear, but to be transformed. For we want to be transformed. We do not want to stay the way we are when we came in. When we go out, Lord, we are a new creations. Continue to be renewed. This we pray in Jesus' name. There is such a presence of the Lord here this morning. Thank you. It is amazing. It is amazing. The reason I say this is because, especially when we start to sing, "My Jesus, I love Thee." There is one thing I know. This church, we love our Lord Jesus. We do everything. We're with a very conscious effort to say we want to glorify this God. Isn't it? In our songs, and we thank God for our pastors who make sure that in our worship, in our service, even in our conversations, that God be glorified. And as a result, if you notice, anyone that comes into here, invited pastors or speakers or whatever, one thing when they go out, they say, "Look, your church, we thank God. This is God's doing, yeah? Let's make this crystal clear. This is God's doing. When we come in, that God's presence is so strong that every one of us try our utmost best to worship this God. So when we sing, "My Jesus, I love Thee," something happened, yeah? Because it is no longer, as you are worshiping, say, "Jesus, you are glorified, you are glorified." When you sing, "My Jesus, I love Thee," you are actually declaring what is in your heart to God. I want to continue on that topic, but I think I better stop. Otherwise, we would not be able to continue. So, let's get back to what the Lord wants us to talk. What wants me to talk about today? I want to talk about encountering God, which is such a beautiful thing. Because why? Throughout the worship, all the way to now, we are constantly encountering God, and encountering God is something that every one of us is praying for. Now, it doesn't matter whether you are a believer or an unbeliever before. It is through encountering God that you are brought into a state of togetherness with God, isn't it? As parents, we constantly pray. This is our constant prayer. We say, "Lord, let our children encounter you. Let our children encounter you." We can talk about a lot of things on this pulpit. We can talk about transformations. We can talk about everything else. But without encountering God, nothing happens. Nothing happens. And it is true that cutting edge, you call it cutting edge, or you call that God initiative, when He comes in and suddenly our point of view totally change. Yeah? It's almost like today. Today, all of us come in here expecting the same Sunday service. Yes, our hearts are full of excitement towards worshiping God. But then again, suddenly the atmosphere is charged with God. Charged with God. What do? You encounter God. And suddenly you realize everything that you worry about is nothing. Everything that you hold dear is nothing compared to knowing this God of ours. That's encountering God. And when you walk out of here, you suddenly realize, "Lord, my walk with you will be different." I believe revival has already started here. Amen. I believe God is working so powerfully in this church, whether individually or corporately, that already, whether you realize it or not, you're encountering God every single day. And praise be to God. Praise be to God. Now, to talk about in the Bible, there are many, the whole Bible is about people encountering God and how their life changed. And what I want to talk about today, I want to pick it up from a very familiar passage of scriptures. And that scripture is taken from John chapter 4, which is Jesus and the woman from Samaria. I know all of us know this scripture so well, and I'd like to see how this woman encountered God and her life changed. Let me start by saying, from the start of this story, the woman from Samaria or the Samaritan woman can represent any one of us. True? It can represent whether you are in the church or you are outside, it does not matter. The state of this Samaritan woman is not the main issue we are talking about. The main issue we are talking about is how this person changed when he or she encountered God. Okay? Now, the story begins in verse 5. It says here, "So he, Jesus, came to a town, Samaria, called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, weary as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.'" The woman came. The woman, most probably, this is one of her usual tasks. And there at the well, she met Jesus. The one thing that the first thing that we can notice from here is that the encountering of God does not initiate with us. It initiates with God. God is going hard after every single one of us here. And God is going hard after the people from outside. When you are praying for your family, rest assured that it is not only you are caring for your family. God is going hard after them. And also, the encountering of God can happen in the most normal circumstances. Correct? It can happen for you students here, or for you students in this university. It can happen when you are punching your computer. It can happen when you're doing your homework. For us, for the mothers, it can happen when you are doing your cooking and suddenly God comes in and you are touched. And for us who is doing any type of work, God can come in anytime. God can come in right now. Right now, as I'm speaking, you are already touched by the Lord. Yeah? Because I know I am. I am. I'm touched by God. And I wish I could sit down, somebody take over. I like to enjoy the Lord a little bit. But, well, responsibility is given. I got to continue. Okay? But this is what it is. The encountering of God, though we continue to pray, say, Lord, let my children encounter you, or we pray for ourselves, I want to encounter God, and want to encounter God. Let's not forget, it is God who take the initiative to come to you first. It is God's timing, God's method, and for that, why is it important? For that, you can rest assured, God will get you. God will get you one way or another. If the encounter of God depends on you or I, then we are in the most sorry state, because we are never consistent. We are never as faithful as this Almighty God. If it depends on Him, hallelujah, I know I will be touched. Yeah? This is the one thing. Now, when we look at these stories, there are a few points where you can say, what happened when somebody encountered the Lord? Or what are the main points when somebody encountered the Lord? The first point is, our background has no bearing in our salvation or in our touching of our Lord. No background whatsoever. John chapter 4, verse 9 to 10, it says, "The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman from Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.'" Let's think about the Samaritan woman. What is someone from Samaria? When the Assyrians came and conquered Israel and took away the Israelites, the deportation of Israelites, they also bring with them some of the outside people. And these outside people, when they came and stayed in Israel, which is two nations, Israel to the north and Judah to the south, these people mixed marriage. with the local Jews. And as a result, now they're called Samaritans. Samaritan, which means they are really a mixed group. And in the eyes of the Jewish people at that time, they are totally deplorable. First, they're deplorable because of their mixed group. Second, because of their religions. Yeah, that means their religion is not pure. And third of all, in that time, this person who came to Jesus was a woman. You can imagine the difficult positions this person is in the eyes of our Lord. But to our God, that is immaterial. What she was never an issue. And if you think about it, this Jesus, by one story here, by asking for her water bottle and say, give me a water bottle, I want to drink, he broke down forever every racial differences that we ever find, every social status differences ever find. Yeah, for one act from our Lord Jesus Christ, you and I forever become equal. It doesn't matter whether you're white, red, yellow, blue, or black. One act of our Lord Jesus Christ, one voice from our Jesus asking for a water bottle, forever, we become one. We become one. And that, if you think of it prophetically, it is going to be it when our Lord Jesus comes back. When all the multitude gather to worship him, you will find, you look at someone, you look at Ben, for example. Hey, same color. Right? But now, is he the same color? No, he's not. He's darker than me. Maybe he's got a lot of sun. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, forever, there is no color difference ever. No color difference. And that is this story, though it is simple, it is the best evangelistic story you can carry to your friend. Our Lord Jesus, doesn't matter what color you are, he wants a drink from you. Yeah? Now, if you look at it from another point of view, if you look at it from the point of view of us as Christians, remember, Jesus say, give me a drink. Just say, give me a drink. What excuse have we have today not to give Jesus a drink? Which means, what I'm trying to say is, what excuse do we have today that maybe you're saying, oh, because I can't speak well, maybe I shouldn't serve, or maybe I can't play music well, maybe I shouldn't play, or maybe I can't, I'm too busy with my work, maybe I can't serve. Is there any other excuses that we have in order to give Jesus a drink, in order to serve our Lord Jesus? There's no more excuses. Whoever you are, sitting right there, you have the capacity to be an absolute worthy servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is not by you, it is by him. So here, we immediately, when we encounter the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that we are becomes nothing. Why? Because we took on a new thing. We took on our Lord Jesus. That's one. Second point. When we encounter our Lord Jesus Christ, there is a realignment of the desire of our hearts. Jesus says, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us a well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. When we come before God, just as the songs that we have just sung, here am I to worship. Think of it. The what do you call it, this thing? The bridge. The bridge of the song says, I'll never know how much it costs. Yeah? I'll never know. It costs us nothing, but it costs God everything to transform us from this sinful state into the family of our God. It costs our Lord everything, and that is what Jesus is offering to us. Sometimes I think C.S. Lewis properly put it, we are like little children playing around with the muddy pool, not knowing just beside the little mountain there, there's a beautiful beach with sandy ground. We are so caught up with the things of this world, thinking that our career can give us a satisfaction we need. Our status can give us a satisfaction we need. Our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones can give us a satisfaction, not knowing our satisfaction comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And only him that can satisfy. That's why Jesus say, don't drink of that. Come. I know you need to drink of that water, no problem, but come and get this water from me. Because this water, when it comes to you, it will well up into eternal water inside you. It will always, forever satisfy. You remember in Jeremiah, I think it's in Jeremiah, what was the sin of the Israelites? Jeremiah said, you committed two sins. One, the first sin you committed is you have forsaken me. That means we do not think of God anymore in our daily lives. The second thing is, he says, is you have exchanged the broken cistern that can hold no water. That thing can have a tickle of water. We taste it. Oh, this is so good. Not knowing Jesus Christ over there has got a spring of living water. And we say, no. That is the evil that Jeremiah is talking about. So today the challenge to you, I'm asking you, are you exchanging this rivers of living water to a cistern that holds no water? What are the things that makes you happy? What are the things that makes you happy? Jesus can provide. Now, in the Bible, there is a lot of things that talks about, say, giving up yourself, come and grab God, giving up yourself. What Jesus, and when you read it, you say, oh, yes, I'm going to give up this, and I'm going to grab hold of God. With all my heart, you frowned, you say, oh, no problem, I'm going to get hold of God. But there was never what he meant by Jesus Christ. What Jesus Christ saying is, if you let go of this, you are going to get this, which is much, much better. Much, much better. What are the things that makes us happy? And don't tell me that nobody is any of you are not looking for happiness. Every one of us are looking for happiness. Correct? Yeah. Even somebody who commits suicide is looking for happiness. Because why? He or she thinks that by doing so, he can be happier on the other side. Yeah. So every single one of us are looking for happiness. Jesus is the source of the ultimate happiness that you can ever have. Just as just now, Brother Donald recited the verse. Jesus Christ took us, who's totally in an unwanted state, by his death, take us into the family of God. And now we have got our own identity right now, not in ourselves, but in Christ. And for once, we truly belonged. We truly belonged. And for us here, you might think, well, what is the big deal of being belonged? It is a big deal. If you think about the children in say Hilton, take for example, or in many schools today, why are they feeling so unwanted? Because they don't feel belonged. They never feel belonged. But Jesus Christ took us in this room, forever in this room, we all belonged. We all belong to Christ. We all belong to Christ. And the third is, not just we belong, we become useful again. We are not useless. Salvation is not simply to have our sins totally wiped out. That is beautiful. Salvation means, once and for all, when God looks at us, he says, you are useful again. You are useful again. That is a thing that we are receiving from Christ. Christ is saying, when you drink of this water, you will be thirsty again. But if whoever drinks of the water that I will give you will never be thirsty again. For the water that I will give him will well up in him, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That is what we have received today. That's what we have received today. Praise be to God. The third point, the first point is, our background has no bearing whatsoever in our salvation.
when we encounter the Lord. The second is that there will be such a realignment of the desire of our hearts. The third is the need to repent and clear conscience. This is something that we do not like to talk about anymore, but it is the fundamental, the foundations of our encountering our God. The woman here said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true."
One thing very interesting about Jesus with this woman, Jesus knew exactly what this woman is. Jesus knew exactly who we are. We come here, or we meet one another, all dress up well, and we, which is right. And many of the things that is inside us, none of you know. But God knows. God knows. We can hide anything, but not from the Lord. And Jesus, coming to this woman, what is her ultimate aim? Her ultimate aim is to give her eternal life by what? By drawing out every junk that is inside her. Jesus never let go. Jesus went hard after this woman. He says, "I know, now you're living with your boyfriend. That is not your husband. That you are correct." It's the same as today. Today, sitting here, you may be encountering God already. What is God speaking to you? What have you hide inside you that nobody else can see? I'm a sinner. Anyone else agree with yourself? Can you raise your hands if it makes you feel better? We all feel better right now. Yeah? Let's clear this with the Lord. Let's clear this with God. God knows. I do not know. I look at you, beautiful people. You look at me, beautiful people as well, I hope. But that's it. We do not know what is in our heart, but God knows. And God, when you encounter with God, it is not just simply, I feel good. Oh, so good. I feel touched by the Lord. That is good. But the ultimate aim is God comes and says, all the junk that is in your heart, your jealousy, your envy, your bitter, whatever that you have, I want to get rid of it. Otherwise, there's no place for this eternal life to come. There's absolutely no place. And encountering with God means, Lord, you touch me. I know I'm a sinner. And this does not only happen on the day of your conversion. It continues, right? It continues. Because why? Because God loves you. If God would have let you off, then there will be a totally different story. God loves us so much, that encountering continue. God continue wanting us to transform more and more into the image of the living God. And as a result, continue. He wants us to bring out what is inside us, to bring it into the open. The fourth, when we encounter our Lord, there will be transformations to true worshippers. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." It is very interesting when the woman start to change the subject and say, "Hey, we heard that it is in Samaria or in Jerusalem that we worship." But Jesus never answered her back the way her questions at all. Jesus said, "Well, the hour is coming. God will be worshipped in spirit and in truth," which tells me that Jesus is not looking for external. God always looking for internal. The worship of God got to come out from the inside.
Sometimes we hide ourselves very well. Say, for example, we can hide ourselves in our service. When I say service, means service to the Lord. I visited homes. I visited church members. I visited. I helped the poor. I help. We cover all this using all these good works actions to cover up what is inside the heart. And inside the heart, I could be thinking everything is me. Everything is me. Self is one of the greatest enemy to God, not Satan. Sometimes yourself it is. And we like to cover it up with a lot of actions, with a lot of good deeds, and say, we are all right. Yeah? We are all right. But yet, God is saying, no, take away the cobwebs. I want to see what is inside. What inside? When you lift up your hands and worship, is that the true person worshiping? Or are you doing it just because next door? It looks good. It does look good. It does look good, doesn't it? Sometimes we tend to have every action that we do. Today, I'm challenging every single one of us here, me myself inclusive. Every action, be it even right now, I'm speaking here. Am I doing this for the praise of you or for the praise of God? Ask yourselves. You come here every Sunday. Are you coming here because you want the praise of God or because you want the praise of your worship leaders? Jesus never... One of the things about Jesus that we love so much, that's why when I listen to songs like My Jesus, I Love Thee, wow. There is no longer... You can't hide. Either you love Jesus or you don't. Yeah, you can't hide. When you say, My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. You know, this is what your heart is singing out. And if you are not there, if I'm not saying that you must be perfect, but there must be this affection for this Jesus of ours. The whole thing about the Jesus faith, I call it the Jesus faith. It's not a thing, it's not an objective thing. It's the person that we are going after. It's the person that we are going after. Jesus here is saying to the woman, no, take out every facade that you have. Take out everything that you have. You might be sitting here, opening up your Bible, memorizing whatever verses that is up there, but is your heart going after our Lord Jesus? That is the thing. God is looking for people who worship in spirit and in truth. And mind you, I believe there is such a sweetness of the Spirit that's run through, not just in this church, but in many places as well. In many places as well, where hearts are being transformed more and more. We are starting to know what it means by loving our Lord Jesus Christ. We are starting to know this Jesus, man, he is no man. He's a son of man. He's an eternal God. He is the one I can put my whole life into. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. So, if we continue, if we look at from not having your background to stop you from serving God into realignment of your heart desire, into repentance and the transformation to true worshipers, then you know this whole process of encountering God rests on one word. What is that word? Grace. It is the grace of God. Again, I go back to the beginning when I said the encounter of God starts with the Lord. It doesn't start with you. It doesn't start with me. We are just responding to this God of ours. What I call the progressions of grace. So let's look at the progressions of grace. The progressions of grace says, first, I have my identity. I'm being transformed from my old self. Now, we have become a new creations. When we encounter the Lord. Second is affections. Our affections is being taken out from the material world, not into the spiritual world. Because spiritual world is we don't know what it is. Our affection is taken out from the material world into this man Jesus. And the third is our conditions. We have been transformed from sinfulness into holiness. Be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. And last, in our worship no longer natural. When we sing song here, it is a spiritual worship ascending unto God. Every single action here, the Holy Communion here is spiritual, the worship is spiritual, the announcement is spiritual, the prayer is spiritual, the preaching of the God's word is spiritual, and everything else in the fellowship, it becomes spiritual. It has a spiritual dimensions. No longer do we rest only on the horizontal realm, we have rich heavens. Because why? Our heavenly places, praise be to God, our heavenly places now is with the Lord. Do you know, while we are talking here as well in Murdoch University, we are also sitting at right hand with Jesus Christ our Lord, if you have received the Lord Jesus. So in conclusions, encounter with God. God is the initiator of all, and all are encountering with Him, and all are experienced with Him. He is coming hard after us. Praise be to God. He's coming hard after us. Second is, not just He's coming hard after us, for we who are here, we continue to expect this to happen throughout our lives for ourselves, our loved ones, and all those God brought across our paths. Do you have this hope? This is not just, I hope tomorrow is going to rain. I hope tomorrow is good weather. I hope pastor will give me this. I hope my leaders would give me that. Uncertain hope. This is for sure. There's an anchor to our souls. We know the encountering of God will continue to happen. The persons that I'm praying for, he will encounter God one day. My loved ones, they will encounter God one day. And when that happens, exactly what we talk about, just as a Samaritan woman, they will be changed. They will be transformed. And third is, today, if you harden your heart, today when you hear this, do not harden your hearts. Do not. Let God change. I end this slightly a little bit different. Did you all watch Rocky IV the other day? Yep. You did? Yep. You did, Rock? Okay, Rocky IV. If you haven't, I suggest you do so. It is like this Rocky, a boxer, was going to fight with this huge Russian guy. I always picture it as the Rocky, which is the smaller guy, that's Evangel. Well, this huge Russian guy, this is the Shia from Darling Down. Yeah? We get beaten up, ultimately he won. And when he has got his face all mangled up, he came towards the end, he says, if I can change, you can change, everyone can change. God can change us. God can change us. The Lord is encountering us even now as I speak. Let God change you. Whatever junk that you have in your heart, take it out. Take it out. It's not worth keeping it. Knowing that eternal life, the well of the spring of living water is there, why are you keeping those things that hinders you from serving the Lord, from giving you all out to God? I say this, I give you a challenge, because why yesterday we went to see Pastor Fred and Pastor Betty. You know Pastor Fred, Pastor Betty? The one that came, they were 83 years old. They told us, just down the road from where they were, that there's this Southern Cross nursing home called Jeremiah Donovan, Jeremiah House. They came to them and say, look, can you all come and sing some song and give share some word with the people in the nursing home? And Pastor Fred, together with the wife, and took up a bunch of people who gathered together. I think their age is more than us here in this room. And they went. Yeah? If they can do it, why can't we? What excuse do we have to serve the Lord? Yeah? Every one of us is saying, I want to encounter God. Now God is encountering you. What excuse do we have of not saying, Lord, whatever opportunity open for me, let me serve you. Let me be that instrument of grace that bring God's grace to the people. Praise be to God. Yeah. Maybe we have the worship team. Let's sing My Jesus, I Love Thee again. Yeah. Now this time when you sing it, knowing that Jesus is here. He loves to encounter you. And He loves to say, hey church, give me a drink.
My gracious Redeemer. Jesus, my Jesus, I love thee.
Cheers.